Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
It's a powerful statement because so many times you're finding Christians that are connected with the unsaved world, acting just like them, being just with them, and the unsaved world says, why are you doing this? Why are you trying to be just like us?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
At this particular point in 1 Samuel 27, David literally is days away from becoming the king. I mean, we're talking probably within a month or so of the chain of events that start taking place, that David now is the reality of what Abigail had knew. David, you're going to be king. Even Saul knew David was going to be king. David knew by virtue of the events that took place way back here, David, you're going to be king. And within just days of David having a fulfillment of all that God promised, David made a critical mistake. And that's what I want to look at just briefly for you, because I think it's important to understand that when we end up having our own rainy days and times that we end up finding ourselves in a muddy hole in which it's like, am I ever going to get out of this? That those are the times that God ends up using, as we are His children of God, we personally, if we made a choice to give Him our life, that He will use all that ultimately for His glory. And so He did with David. And I think they're valuable, timeless truths. I'm going to look at three of them. But let me look at a couple of quick stages with you, if you would. 1 Samuel 27, look at your Bibles, if you would. And the very first statement of this particular chapter, notice as you would, it says, "And David said in his heart." That is such a powerful statement, because David said in his heart. There are 10 times that phrase is used through Scripture, and all of those are statements in which are unveiling David's fear. We all find ourselves at times that we're fearful. That's what insecurity is, putting our trust, our confidence in things that can be taken away. And David spent some time in that muddy hole, and there was nothing wrong with necessarily how he got into this bog. His problems started when he looked for his own way, and he got into problems because it started with David said in his heart. Notice what he said, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." And David arose, he and passed over the 600 men with him, and they went to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. Who's from Gath? Goliath. David finds himself, very simply, if I could title this, as the clouds and darkness that come. Those feelings of despair that chill us, like, as one author said, an unexpected downpour. It's when we run for cover in an enemy camp that disobedience begins, and that's where we find David, because you end up finding David here. Basically, he had a three-part process. Number one, he was humanistic in his viewpoint. Number two, he was very pessimistic in his reasoning. Not only the humanistic viewpoint, the pessimistic reasoning, but there was a rationalistic logic. He basically said, listen, there's nothing better for me than to escape in the land of the Philistines. And so he ends up moving into a land which ultimately was the land of Judah, and that ultimately was Israel's promised land, but he was still in the enemy of the camp. And I'm going to mention to you that so often what happens to so many people, they get themselves in a place that ultimately, as it says in verse 7, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was what? It was 1 year and 4 months, which ultimately was a wrong place with wrong people and wrong principles he was operating off of. And it put David in a place of having very, very difficult time hearing God. we end up finding him really in verse 8 and 9, when David now really starts living a life of duplicity. You find in verse 10, he's very vague. He's kind of living in a out-and-out lie when the Achish is saying, "Whither did you go and make to the road today?" David says, "Well, I went down to the south of Judah," and he's skirting all the issues, and he begins deceiving the king, and ultimately, he's leading a life of secrecy. And he was basically clearing house and exterminating individuals that, verse 12, Achish believed David. And David finds himself now in a life in which he, David, is living this life that becomes one of really great depression. He's away from God. He's in a place in which he is that carnal Christian. Could we put in our own vernacular today? He's a miserable specimen. Redpath says it this way, a man who talks like this as David was talking was at this breaking point, and the recurrence of his own moods of depression was putting David in places of disobedience. So I ended up saying to you that just when people get to that place, David puts himself, if I could look at it thoroughly, as the injury and the devastation that occur. You end up finding this in chapter 29, because here's you end up finding the injuries and the devastation and these very simple four steps, and then I'm going to give you some timeless truths. This is the unfolding of what David happens. Chapter 29, verse 1. The Philistines gather together all their armies, and now David's been in their midst. He's worked in and out, and his own personal life is struggling. And yet the people, the Philistines, who he had been fighting for so long, are now gathered together. Verse 2, the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and thousands, and David, his own men, passed on in the reward with Achish. Achish had been convinced, and notice the statement, if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, it's a powerful statement, then said the princes of the Philistines. The question, what do these Hebrews hear? What in the world are these Hebrews doing with us? What in the world is David aligning himself with us? Even the unsaved world knew these Christians should not be in our same presence and what we're doing. They shouldn't be here. You end up finding that's the first stage of four. I put it as he became displaced. And basically, because David was displaced, David found himself now shoulder to shoulder with unsaved people, trying to accomplish the same tasks. And by the way, this is a great statement and a great question many times to ask yourself when you get yourself in a place that is, as one author said, as King Achish was fooled by David's deceit, the commanders of the Philistine army began to have their doubts. And he was not just the past bodyguard of Achish, he was an Israelite with the Philistines. And they were saying, "David, what are you doing with us?" It's a powerful statement because so many times you'll end up finding today, you'll end up finding Christians that are connected with the unsaved world, acting just like them, being just with them, and they, the unsaved world, says, "Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to be just like us?" They know this doesn't mesh. All through Scripture, there's always a separation and there's a difference between the holy and the unholy, between God's people and the world. There's a difference between the spirit of this age and the Holy Spirit. And this is where you find David, the first of four steps, we became displaced. Then number two, he became disillusioned. You find this in verse 8 and 9, when David said to Achish, verse 8, "What have I done? I mean, what hast thou found in servant as long as I've given myself to him for about a year and a half now?" Achish was saying, "Hey, I have nothing against you. You provided protection for me." But David himself was disillusioned. He thought he had the perfect setup, but he was in a horribly bad place to be. Notice number three, he became distrusted. This is where you find it in verse 30, when it came to pass, verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on that third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag, and he burned with fire, and he took the women, the captives, and they slew not any of them, which basically you got 600 wives, you got 1,200 children, you got a couple thousand people. David didn't know this yet. So verse 3, David and his men came to the city, and it's burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters, they're taken captive. And David and the people were with him and lifted up their voice and wept till there's no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken. Remember Ahinoam and Abigail, who was the wife of Nabal, who we talked about. And David is, because he's distrusted, He's now lost remains of their respect, and the men turn on David in bitter envy and attitude because David is in disobedience. And look at, we didn't find any verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Put that down as the last stage, because you find David now in a place in which he didn't think he would ever be. Now, you end up finding many, many times through Scripture, you'll have David who, in the midst of this, had other statements made, like Psalms 18, 4 and 5, when David penned, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." David said in Psalms 34, 18, "The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart." And he touches on a truth that man's extremity is God's opportunity. And then when we find ourselves in a place in which, "God, I made wrong choices. Where do I go? What do I do?" What do we do? David unveils what I think to be some simple, timeless truths. Let me give you three of them. You find it here in this text in verse 6 through 8. And with this, we'll close. Notice, first of all, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. If you want to put another phrase for that, he was in greatly distressed, it's another word, a Hebrew word, for in a tight spot. When we were growing up, we used to, when people were in a tight spot, we call they were in a wad. They didn't know what else to do. They were so tight that they were not moving, not doing anything. And this is where you find the phrase into verse 6, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You know what that says to us today? That we can make application. Where do we go? What do we do when we find ourselves with rainy days in a muddy hole? You know what we do, first of all? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. If you want to state it this way, you end up finding yourself making the statement that there is passion there. There was an inward hunger. David really did want God himself. That desire had never changed. David was still after man's, after God's own heart. And David examined his heart and encouraged himself in the Lord. Obviously, this is the point in which David realized, "I've been making wrong choices." He got things restored with his God. It doesn't anywhere in Scripture that I know of specifically state that David did anything other than he encouraged himself in the Lord. He realized, "I've got to make changes." And there was a great passion that was still burning in David's own heart. That inward hunger encouraged himself in the Lord. David was in a place to realize, "You know what? I'm going to make changes. I don't have to keep living this way." And those decisions, those changes are one step at a time. David just didn't leap off the pages and find himself now that all of a sudden everything was okay. There were still problems to be had. David's own wives were gone. The men's wives were gone. The kids were gone. His house is burned down. You want to talk about Old Testament terrorism? This is what you have. The Amalekites, what we would know to be as terrorists. There were no problem taking someone else's life. What do? David found himself saying, "I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord." That's a powerful, powerful statement.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.